welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. A turbulent summer nationally for relations between African Americans and the police has reached East Central Indiana. In Muncie, a group of black civic and religious leaders have met with the city's police chief and the Delaware County Sheriff. Among other things, some wanted to talk about driving while black, the practice of traffic stops made with questionable probable cause. All this comes at a turning point for one of Muncie's largest African-American congregations, Union Missionary Baptist Church, which has a new pastor for the first time in 29 years, who is a former Muncie police officer. We'll talk with Pastor Robert Scaife later in the show, but first we'll start with Deacon Willie Goler Jr., chairman of deacons at the church. He is 69 years old and has been a member of the church his whole life. You grew up in a time when civil rights were being won for black folks. What is your thought as you see what's going on today?
Well, the cell phone has made a difference because it's exposed a lot of things that was going on prior to now. Young blacks were being shot prior to the past 2 or 3 years. They were being beaten. They were being racially profiled. And the only thing that's happened is our means of communications and transmitting information has changed. You know, is now if a policeman beats somebody or shoots them, someone around there has a cell phone and they can video it and then get it out to the media. But what happened in the past is we didn't have access to that technology, but we have access to it now. So people look at it and say, oh, well, it's not a surprise to the black community because we have experienced this all of our lives. And it's just now being exposed. There has to be a culture in the police department, one where you don't shoot first to kill a person, but you should subdue the person. And I understand that the policemen want to go home to their families. I don't blame them for that. And they do a good job, the majority of them, but they have to screen out those who are cowboys and just looking to make a name for themselves and just kill innocent young men. And that is a terrible, very terrible. And it's a terrible, when you look at our United States of America, where we're supposed to have freedoms and where we're supposed to have a police department that's to protect and serve. Now, to protect and serve means that you protect and serve the people of the community, because those people in the community, they're the ones that pay your salary. They're actually your boss, instead of being reversed. And if you're there to serve, then you should serve, not hurt. And anytime that black parents have to teach their young men, this is the way you act if the police pull you over. Don't put your hands in your pockets. Keep your hands on to where they can be seen. Make sure you pull over, you're in a lighted place. All of these things we should not have to do or have to train our young black young men as well as our young girls too. That's like living in a Gestapo state. And we're in the United States of America, and it's sad. It's really sad. It's sad that that young man that they killed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, That's a sad state of affairs. This young man was down on the ground. They have videos of it. And he shot 4 times laying on the ground. Say he had a gun. He didn't have the gun out. Didn't have it on his in his hand. But they shot him and killed him anyway. So, we've got a long way to go. But we can't. We got to remain vigil and make sure that there's accountability for our police department and for the ones who serve, and that they understand they're to serve and protect. And I think it really gets down to good training, making sure that they're trained and that they're sensitive to minorities and to our young people, and not getting antagonized when they say something. Words sometimes are powerful, and they can cause a person to go off the deep end. But when you're trained properly, you can ignore that and then just deal with the situation. That's a concern of mine, and we haven't had that situation here in Muncie, and I hope that we never do. But we can learn from what's happening in other places.
Willie Goler Jr., chairman of deacons at Union Missionary Baptist Church, one of the largest black congregations in Muncie, talking about relations between African Americans and the police. Coming up, Union's new pastor, himself a former police officer.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
A group of black civic and religious leaders in Muncie has met with the police chief and county sheriff to talk about relations between African Americans and the police. Among those who was interested in the meeting is Pastor Robert Scaife of Union Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor Scaife is in an interesting position here. He's a former police officer. He spent 12 years on the Muncie Department and was a detective when he decided to resign so he could concentrate on the church after being appointed Union's first new pastor in 29 years.
You grew up around here, didn't you?
Yes, born and raised here in Whiteland.
Tell me about that.
I came from a large family. You know, I'm the youngest of 18 kids. And as growing up, you know, my parents... my dad worked at a factory. My mom, she was a homemaker. And so we didn't have everything that we wanted. There were some struggles, you know. But, you know, we had the basic essentials. And we had our faith. I grew up in this church. And so, I mean, just growing up over the years, you know, I've learned just to trust God. My mom used to always sing a song. It was her patent song, "The Lord Will Make a Way Somehow." And that's what we live by. Still to this day. And so, I mean, we had our troubles and struggles growing up, but we made it. And so, you know, and that's where I feel that we are today, you know, although it's been tough, but we're going to make it.
In your own life, I mean, can you think of a time when a way was made, like you thought, I need some help here?
Yeah, I can remember several of them. When I was growing up, and even when I was grown, I know that there was at a time my parents, you know, they were struggling with money, and our lights got cut off. I remember that because I remember the AEP guy coming to the house and shutting the lights off. I was standing outside, and my dad was sitting in the chair, you know, didn't realize how we were going to do it, but he didn't fuss, he didn't complain. But, you know, God made a way. Our lights got cut back on, and that's, you know, I was the only time that I've seen that in with my family when I was growing up. And I've been in several situations where, you know, we needed some help. We needed God to intervene, and before you know it, he was there given us the direction, given us the provisions that we needed for every situation. So we don't have a choice but to trust him.
Times are challenging now. This is not the Muncie of 3 or 4 decades ago.
Right.
How do you see that in sort of your everyday life?
Yeah, there's a huge change. I'm not too old. I'm 42. I can remember when I was in high school, 16, 17 years old, things are completely different, you know, just from when I was in high school to now, just the perspective of our youth, just the perspective of our society, just the different beliefs and expectations. They're completely different now than they were when I was growing up. And it's a huge problem. I think that's a contributing factor to where we are today as a society, just based off of, you know, the upbringing.
Tell me about that a little bit. How would we see that? How in our everyday life?
I'm speaking from my own upbringing. As I was growing up, my parents were older. You know, it was, we call it old school upbringing. I wasn't just raised by my parents. If I left the house and somebody saw me doing something that I shouldn't do, I would get scolded by them. And then when I got home, my parents would already know. And so it was that concept. It takes a whole village to raise a child. And so you had eyes everywhere you went. That's not that way today.
We're missing that now. Yes, why is that?
I think it's just the different beliefs of generations now. Parents are younger, you know, babies are raising babies. And so it's as if everybody's rebelling. They don't want anybody to say anything to their kids. And I mean, we're just at that stage to now, you know, you can't help raise anybody else's kids without offending a parent. And so my prayer is that the blinders will just be removed so that people can get back to that old adage that it takes a village to raise a child. And so
in a day-to-day way, let's say that poverty is at some level, yeah, and the number of single-parent homes is at some level. As a pastor, and you're new at this, do you see a role for a church to help with after-school programs? Or
I think the church can play a part in a number of ways to impact the lives of families. We don't have to try to reinvent the wheel. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that's already working. And what I'm trying to push for our church is, how about we just start collaborating and seeing where it's working, seeing where God is working, and join him, you know. So there are organizations throughout the community that are doing some positive things. My thing to the church, my appeal to the church is, let's go and help in those particular areas and give them assistance so that we can help them impact our communities. So that's our outlook. It's, you know, we don't have to try to create any more programs. Let's just see what's working in the community and help.
Is there anything that you've seen that gives you hope, makes you feel like, hey, we've got a shot here?
Yeah, there are a few things out there that's working. I my passion growing up, and I worked at the Bewley Center, a community center, for 6 years. I always want to make sure that our youth are taken care of, because I believe we got to pour into them, because, you know, they're the next generation. But we see a number of things out there and organizations that are doing positive things for youth. And I've spoken to a couple of them who run those organizations, and I just told them, I said, look, we want to help whatever way that we can. And I believe that the church should stand up and support and help in any way when it comes to our youth.
Pastor Robert Scaife of Union Missionary Baptist Church in Muncie. He's a former police detective who traded in his badge to focus on the Bible at a time of growing concern about relations between African Americans and the police. Coming up, what he thinks about this summer's wrenching violence across the country.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
I'm thinking of some of these incidents that have happened recently with young black men.
Yeah.
What do you say when people ask you about that?
You know, it's tough because I've come from both sides. You know, I'm a black male, and I was also law enforcement for 12 years. It's hard to try to explain what's going on, but I always state it and start out with saying, just like any job that you go to, there are some people who are there that shouldn't be there, and it's we have to do a better job of screening our applicants, background checks of our applicants, and getting the right people in the right places. Not everybody should be a policeman that's out there, because they're not designed to be a policeman. They can't handle the pressures of the day-to-day jobs of being an officer. And that's what we're seeing now. You have some people who can't handle the pressure, or they don't know how to use their authority in the right way. And so, yeah, we're seeing a lot of violence, especially coming to black males, just across the board. And I hate seeing it, because, you know, all the officers are my fellow brothers and sisters in law enforcement. But some of those instances are just flat out wrong, you know, and justice needs to be served. And I think more departments, you know, nationwide need to do a better screening process, especially when it comes to backgrounds, and be more thorough when they hire the people into the police department, so that we will avoid situations like these.
Somebody told me, you know, this has been going on the whole time. We're just now becoming aware of it because of these cell phones. Did you have any experiences like that as you were coming up?
No, I didn't. I can't recall having any. I tried to stay away from trouble. You know, I was worried more about my parents getting me than the police, and so I steered clear of it. I've seen my friends grow up and, you know, be in and out of trouble with law enforcement, but I didn't see it on this level. You know.
Well, there was a case one time of the African-American state trooper who was, this was a few years ago, driving an unmarked car in Carmel, mm-hmm. and he stopped and hassled. And I mean, some people said, well, hey, guess what? That's our world. Yeah. I mean, this is a police officer. He's not looking for trouble.
Yeah. I know him. I know him. I know exactly who you're talking about. You know, that's just one of those struggles and stressors that you know that we're going to deal with as a black man. You know,
I guess some of the best advice for people is just don't give anybody any excuses to go off.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, look, if you get pulled over by a policeman, if it's a white officer, if it's a black officer, I don't care who it is, I said, you treat them the same way across the board. Although you might be having a bad day, you can't display that. You know, if they're disrespectful to you, you just remain calm, because at the end of the day, they're still going to be in control. You can record it, but if they're pulling you over for some sort of violation, you know, you can determine the severity of that, you know, just by the way you respond to them. And I said, you know, just do what they tell you to do. You know, keep your hands where they can see them. You know, just little things like that. And that's as an officer, that's what we were taught to, you know, taught to look out for. You got to watch their hands at all time. If they're reaching in places where you're telling them not to reach, then you don't know what they're going to come back up with. And so that's a scary situation for us. And I've even been in that as an officer, you know.
Can you think of a time where you were?
Yeah, I pulled over. I used to do DUI enforcement all the time. And I remember one night I pulled a guy over and he was drunk, and I was telling him, let me see his hands. And he had one hand on the steering wheel and he was reaching in the console. I didn't know what he was reaching for, but I had to pull my gun out. Luckily, I didn't have to shoot him, but he was reaching for his driver's license. And so, but you just have to make sure. Those are just those situations that you never know what's going to happen or what they're going to pull out when they're digging down the side. But you just can't do that. It's just simple things that you got to tell them. If they're asking you for your driver's license, you just say, it's in my console. Can I grab it real quick and wait for them to tell you so that they can get in a position to see? Or if you have a weapon on you, you got to let them know, I have a weapon. It's right here on my right side. It's right next to me. And I'm licensed to carry, you know, and then just let them give you instructions. Don't go reaching for it to pull it out. You got to wait and wait for them to give you instructions.
Part of the problem of the cities is, mm-hmm. you know, a generation of people who, children raising children.
Yes.
The education system has failed. Mm-hmm. The jobs that were here a generation ago aren't here.
Yeah.
You know, we can ask for divine intervention and we can pray. Yeah. What else can we do?
We got to go out and try to make things happen. Just like anybody else, we got to try to help our cities. We got to try to help our leaders in our cities. You know, we can't just come out and condemn them when something bad happens, or try to stand up and strike if something negative happens. We don't want to sit around and wait till something bad happens. I think that we need to try to at least get on the same page with our leaders, demanding some things that we think should help and you know, listening to their input as well as giving our input, and then trying to work together to make sure that we can make our city a better place.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have.
Pastor Robert Scaife, a former Muncie police detective who recently became pastor at Union Missionary Baptist Church, one of the city's largest black congregations. He's part of a group of African-American leaders who asked the police chief and county sheriff for a meeting to talk about relations with the police. This turbulent, violent summer has brought to light some long-held grievances in communities across the country about law enforcement. Pastor Scaife has seen the issue from both sides. He and others say the answer may very well lie in better training. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.